in you. And he makes all the difference in the world. And it says here, number three in our conclusion, Christ is the sinner's only high priest, recognized by God the Father, and all others are eliminated. My friend, this is truth. My friend, this is fact. You're not going to get anything clearer. You're not going to get anything more honest. Now, if God can take a dead stick and give it life, he can take a person who is dead in trespasses and sins and give him or her life as well. Mm-hmm. Buds of hope, blossoms, flowers, a beautiful life, and a fruitful life, and almonds connected with it. Do you know him? Make that decision for Christ today. Come to him. Begin to read the Bible. Seek him. Come to a house of God where God's word is preached and taught. My friend, you'll never, never, never regret this decision you make if you make it for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful word. And thank you for showing us how this event in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the resurrection of Christ, the greatest miracle of all miracles in the Bible, Lord, that it was in your mind years, centuries, millennia before it ever occurred. And Lord, you took great pains to prepare all of this for us. Now, Lord, may we take great pains to follow you and be your loyal servants. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Strength for Today from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand. If you have a question or a comment about what you've heard today, call or text the church at 715-894-7555, 715-894-7555. You're also invited to visit them on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. They meet at the Riverview Community Center at 606 West Madison Street in Durand. It's 9 o'clock at Real Country 1430 AM Stereo WRDN Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand. Time now for the weekly service from the First Baptist Church of Algiers in Walker, Louisiana.
Father, we come this morning thanking you for bringing us here. I thank you for myself. Thank you for sending each one of these here. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless us this morning. Send thy Holy Spirit among us. Open hearts. Cause sinners to see their need. Lord, help us this morning. Lord, give me grace to lift up Christ one more time. And Lord, if it be thy will, give these here that hearing ear. Open that darkened understanding and cause them to hear. Help us, Lord. Bless us. May you bless this broadcast over all the radio stations, over the internet, and all the means that it goes out. May you use it for thy purpose. Bless us, Lord. Bless the offering as we receive it now. May it be used to get the gospel out to a lost, dying world, that thy word might cover the globe. Bless us, Lord. Guide us, keep us now. Bless the sick, the afflicted, all those on our prayer list. Lord, I ask you for each one of them, heal and raise up, turn hearts, awaken. Guide us now. Give me grace to stand and speak boldly of the Lord. And I ask all this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this broadcast is coming to you from our chapel here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers. We're located at 9559 Florida Boulevard here in Walker, Louisiana. Our mailing address, if you'd like to send us a letter, is Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And our website, radiomissions.org, and you can send us email there at Radio Missions. We're setting up a new contact form there where you can click on that and send us feedback, email, and what have you. It's what we do is we get a lot of email from people, and they don't tell us where they're at, where they hear, how they hear, or any of those things. And so we're trying to set up a little thing to remind people to let us know where you're listening, what you're listening to, and where you live. So hopefully that'll be a good thing. And that's I think it might be ready on the website now, but I haven't had time to check it. But if you're interested in contacting us, you can go there and look for it, or you can send us email, pastor@radiomissions.org. So I'm glad we have those means for to be connected and contacted in those things. But I'm Brother Glenn Bond, and I do want to welcome each one of you here, that the Lord will maybe give you a blessing even today for being here. Maybe the Lord will take something home to your heart. And so let's take our Broadman songbook and turn to number 421, If You Only Knew Him, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
If you only knew him. And you know, when we talk about salvation, there's a hearing of Christ and a knowing of Christ. But do you really know him? Not from a distance, not to have heard about him or heard what he has done, but do you know him? Have you met him? Has he put your sins away? Let me give you the prayer list. We still have many on our prayer list. Miss Wylene Lovis and her sister, Miss Peaches. And we heard from them this past week, and they're both doing quite well. And assisted living. So I'm glad that they're doing better. They've had a lot of problems, but they're in the assisted living, so they're enjoying it. So praise the Lord for it. And then Brother Ben White and his family. Brother Kenneth and Miss Dory Gayo, and Brother Kenny is having a hard time there. So let's do remember him. Miss Dorothy Vale, Miss Pat Kaufman, Brother Gerald Robinson, Miss Marie Thompson. And last, what was it, Saturday, she turned 100 years old. And she's still around, not doing well, but she's still with us. Miss Becky Boudreaux, Miss Audrey Thomas, Brother Arvis Shows, Miss Marilyn Lessinger, Miss Lynn King, Brother Eric Ranking Sr., Brother Gary Dodrell, Miss Mary Jackson, and Brother Renee Antoine Sr. is in the hospital, having problems there. And then I got a message this morning that Brother Charles Welch is going to be having some serious medical problems, supposed to go into the hospital Wednesday. So let's remember him. And then in a nursing home, Brother Jimmy Gayo, Brother Clifford Birchfield, Miss Mary Perrin, Miss Claudine Fisher, and Brother Harold Cranfield. So let's remember these as you go to prayer, and may the Lord heal and give comfort to them. So let's take our red book now, turn to number 198, Just As I Am, 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
So let's take our selected hymns now and turn to number 253, Hide You in the Blood, verses 1, 3, and 4. Till the danger passes. Do you realize that there is danger? That you need to be hidden from it, kept from it, protected from it, delivered from it. That's what Christ did. He came to deliver. And I praise him that he delivered me. This morning, I want to look again at man's responsibility in election. Now, many times when we think of God's election and choosing his people, we tend to want to think that man has no responsibility or no part in it. But though God has chosen his people, before, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, he chose every one of us, everyone who would ever be saved. But that doesn't relieve you of your responsibility. And I want to look at that this morning. I want to start with this verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now this says that God chose in the beginning. And it says he chose you through sanctification and belief of the truth. That shows there is something more on your part. There is something for you. But this is God's word to us, his instructions for us. And many people don't like the doctrine of election because it makes God sovereign and it makes man nothing. God made man, and as a creation of God, God can do what he will with us. Amen. We belong to God, and you can't change that. But I find today there is a doctrine of election. They call it a corporate election. It is a warped doctrine. And there are many that believe it and follow it and teach it. But without trying to get into details of what corporate election is, let me just say that corporate election attempts to throw God off the throne and to leave man in God's place to choose and to do as he pleases. Now that's putting it plain and coarse, but that's the fact. It throws God off the throne. There's only one sovereign in this universe, and that's God. One sovereign. There cannot be two. Whenever you think and understand that God has all power, if he has all power, then that does not leave any room for another God that has all power. There is only one God, and he has all power, and he will do as he pleases. Every creation of God, every man born into this world, whenever we look at this corporate election, the corporate election tries to say that every man is free to choose and be saved, or you're free to reject salvation and be lost. Now, there's a fine line there, but corporate election warps the Bible around, and it tries to say and make plain that man has the power to choose to be good. Now, if you could choose to come to Christ, you could choose to be good, but you cannot choose to be good. God's word makes that plain. The choice to come to Christ is there before every one of us. Christ died for us. He calls you to come, but you have no power to choose and to carry that choice out. God's word shows us that man is totally depraved. Man's a captive of Satan. Man will do the bidding of Satan. Man is blinded and deceived by Satan. Man is in a terrible condition. And when you take all these things into account, you'll find that every man, if left to himself, the only choice that he will make, and he will make that choice, is to reject Christ. You will reject Christ because of your depraved condition, your deception, the blinded mind, all these things. You will reject Christ and his salvation. Every one of us will do it. The Bible tells us plainly In Romans 3:12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And without God's elective grace, Him choosing before the foundation of the world, no one would ever be saved. None. Because there is none that doeth good, no, not one. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, and every one of us sooner or later will die. You're going to face that death. This body must die. God has chosen. Whenever we think of God's election, many people want to say, well, God chose to save this one, and He chose to send that one to hell, and He chose these and He chose those to hell and these to salvation. And it's not quite like that. That's a misunderstanding on your part. We have all, because of our depraved nature, we have all chosen hell. But God has stepped in, and He has chosen some to be saved. He has chosen some. And the ones that He didn't choose to be saved, He has left to themselves. And if the Lord leaves you to yourself, and that's what the natural man wants. We want to be left alone. But if the Lord leaves you alone, you will follow your own depraved nature right on into hell. That's a fact. The ones that the Lord saves, and we don't know who the Lord will save. We don't know who God has elected. But the ones that He saves are His elect. The Bible tells us, God knows. He said the foundation of God standeth sure, because God knows those that are His. He knows. There'll be no surprises to God. The ones that God has chosen, He will seek out and He will save. He will seek out. I want you to look at this parable there in Luke chapter 15. This is a description of God saving a sinner. Just a real brief description of what the Lord does for us from God's perspective. What He does. Luke 15, start with the fourth verse. He says, this is Christ speaking. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Do you realize that the Lord rejoices when a sinner is saved? And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now this parable shows how God loves us, how He cares for us, for His elect, not for the world, but for His elect. It shows that whenever we are lost, the Lord goes forth and finds us, lays us on his shoulders and brings us home. It should be plain from this that salvation is sure. While a sinner is lost, doubts and fears are everywhere. But when the Lord redeems, when the Lord finds, whenever he lays hold to that lost sinner, grants him salvation, this parable, it says, when he's found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now you think about a shepherd finding his sheep, catching it up, putting it on his shoulders, rejoicing, heading home. Think about it. How safe that sheep will be there on the Lord's shoulders. How safe you will be. There's that one scripture that says, no man can pluck him out of my Father's hand. That's how safe we are in Christ. This perspective, this parable is a perspective from God's point of view. We have different parables in the Bible that give us different points of view for different things. But this parable of the lost sheep shows us God's point of view. And it shows that God will seek and save his people, his elect. Now, if you want to see man's point of view, you can kind of go there and study the prodigal son. That tends to be more of man's point of view. But this parable of the sheep shows that God will seek and to save a lost sinner. It only shows that we can, as a human being, as a lost sinner, that our part is the sheep being lost, being in need of salvation. This also shows that the lost sinner, or the sheep here in this parable, the sheep never came back. The shepherd had to go and find that lost sheep. And that is, by nature, every one of us, until the Lord begins his work in the heart, we will continue to go away from God. We won't ever choose to come to him. We'll continue to go away farther and farther, deeper and deeper into sin and those things. And this sheep, we find that if the Lord or the shepherd had not came and sought him out, he would have continued into the wilderness. Sooner or later, he would have perished. He would have died. Think about that poor lost sheep. Think about a lost sinner. Before the Lord saves him, when the shepherd got close to that sheep, and when the Lord gets close to saving a lost sinner, you will find a lot of crying out. That sheep, no doubt, was crying in the wilderness. Bah, bah. Crying. I can't help but think he was stuck somewhere. Caught in the thicket, maybe. Maybe he was running from his shadow, afraid of everything in the world. A lost sinner being afraid of dying and going to hell. And a lost sinner will begin to cry out to the Lord. And when the Lord comes, he finds you begging and pleading, just like he found this sheep, crying out. That's the repentance. The Lord gives repentance. When the shepherd found the sheep, I believe that sheep was happy to see the shepherd. I believe that sheep was just as happy as the shepherd was. Gathering up that sheep. That sheep had been lost in the wilderness, afraid. Maybe had been attacked by wild beast, who knows what. Satan attacks us all. But that sheep was happy to see the shepherd. And when the Lord saves you, there'll be joy unspeakable. But this parable shows how God delivers his people. It shows the doctrine of election. Can you see the doctrine of election here? Let me just kind of point it out to you. We find here a shepherd with 100 sheep. 100 sheep. There are other shepherds in the world, and these other shepherds have their own sheep. But we're looking at a specific shepherd with a finite number of sheep. This 100 sheep belongs to this one shepherd, the good shepherd. The other sheep, there are other sheep out there, but they don't belong to this shepherd. If some other sheep goes astray, the shepherd's not going to find it. Won't be concerned about it. Probably won't even know about it. But this shepherd has 100 sheep. They're his sheep. He cares for his sheep. When one goes astray, he goes after it because it's his. And he won't give it up. God's election holds true. Whenever we look at God's election, I find that there's an overwhelming list of references to God choosing his people. All these references in the Bible leave out the works of man. Why? Because there are no works of man in God's election. The Lord chose before any of us were ever brought into existence. The Lord chose us. All of these references throughout God's word of election, they all speak of God doing the choosing and then calling for man, you and I, to act on faith. A faith of God, a faith that God gives us. That doctrine of corporate election tries to make God's word into something that it's not. Corporate election does not align itself with the rest of God's word. It takes one or two things and it tries to make man into something that he's not. It tries to give man a power to choose that God has not given him. And corporate election is nothing more than a tool of Satan. That's all it is. I had a preacher one time try to explain corporate election to me and tell me that that's what election is and that's what God's trying to tell us in the Bible, that it's corporate election. But I could never fully grasp what he was trying to tell me. But I could tell that I couldn't agree with him. It didn't make sense to me. When we look at this parable of the lost sheep, I have to ask you, what part did that sheep have in his salvation? He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything from God's perspective. No sinner, no lost sinner has a part in it. As far as God is concerned, every one of the elect, God, Christ will find everyone, and from God's perspective, from his infinite power, from his foreknowledge, every one of us, every one of God's elect are as good as saved even now. Now, I know we, as a lost sinner, you don't want to hear that. Because I'm not saved right now, and it's all up to God, and there ain't nothing I can do about it. And in one sense, there is nothing you can do about it. But you do have a responsibility as a lost sinner. It is your responsibility to seek the Lord. Now, as a lost sinner, to say that I'm not elected takes away all hope. You must consider that you are one of God's elect. You must hope for it. You can't know it, but you have to believe. Believe what the Bible tells you. And the Bible says, ask and ye shall receive. He said, seek the Lord and you'll find him. Now, that's what the Bible tells you. Now, you can say, well, I'm not elected and the Lord's not going to save me, and you can go on to hell. But the Bible lays the responsibility directly on your shoulders and says, seek ye the Lord. It says, call on him. It says, come and reason together. Now, if God had no intentions of saving you, would he say that to you? Would he tell you, come, just so that he could cast you out? Would he say, come and reason together? No. He says this for a reason. He calls you to come because it's the desire of the Lord is to save a repentant sinner. Now, I want to tell you, when a lost sinner becomes concerned about seeking the Lord, when you become concerned for your soul, you will forget about election. You'll forget about it. Election doesn't affect you. It doesn't change you. You can't do anything about it. There's no sense thinking about it. And whenever you begin to get serious about your soul, you'll forget election. It'll be way in the back of your mind. You'll be concerned about seeking the Lord. When the Lord begins to deal with you earnestly, whenever you earnestly seek the Lord, you'll begin to push election out of your mind. It won't mean a thing to you. God calls all men to seek him, to come, to call, to plead, to reason. He calls all. And all who will come, all who will obey that call, will be saved. Amen. Election is fixed. It shows the power of God. It shows the helplessness of man. They're two completely different points of view. You'll find that while the Lord is out seeking that lost sheep, that lost sheep is just running, running, going farther away, not knowing where to go. But I believe when the Lord gets close and he sees that sheep and he hears that sheep running from him, and he will call to that sheep. And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And you'll hear the voice of the Lord and you'll stop running. And you'll start trying to make your way back to Christ. Now, whenever we talk about man's duty, man's responsibility in these things, I want to give you this little illustration, if you will. Consider, you go to bed one night in your house and everything is fine, and you go to sleep, but you wake up in the middle of the night and your house is on fire and it's burning down around you, and you're trapped and you're stuck in that house. Think about it. And you hear the fire trucks, the sirens, fire trucks coming, and you hear the firemen outside your house and they're trying to put the fire out. What are you going to do in that house? You can't get out. You don't know which way to go or what to do. Are you going to just pull up a chair and sit down and say, well, no need for me to worry. Fire department's here. Everything's going to be okay. Are you going to sit while the house burns down around you? Will you? Or will you be rumbling around looking for a window or a door somewhere else? A crack in the wall that you can squeeze through, some way to get out of that house. You're not going to be sitting there twiddling your thumbs, whiling away the time. You'll be trying to get out. You'll be screaming. You'll be yelling, help me, help me. You'll try to escape through the smallest window. Whenever the fire comes upon you, you'll be doing everything you can to get out of that fire. You'll be taking risk to do things that you would never have considered before. I've seen fires from high-rise building where the fire come upon them and they jumped out the windows. 10 stories up, jumped out. Will you be sitting doing nothing? And it's the same way with salvation. You'll do things that you would never do before. You'll plead with the Lord like you have never pled with him before. You'll call on him. You'll beg him like you never have before. When you sit in the burning house, are you going to say, well, if I'm elect, I'll get out of here. I'll just sit here. And if I'm not elect, well, I'm just going to die anyway. No. You're going to put forth effort. You're going to run back and forth. You're going to break out windows. You're going to try and squeeze through. You may try to break the walls out of the house. You're going to be making effort. You're going to be trying. You're going to be putting forth great effort. You'll be seeing death staring you in the face. Now, we hear that, maybe that expression a lot of times, but I believe that when you come face to face with death, that it will put fear in you like you have never had before. You're going to be afraid. Eternity and hell coming upon you. You'll see and you'll know the danger you're in. And you'll make effort to get out. Now that's part of what we mean when I say awakened, has the Lord awakened you, or the Lord will awaken you, or the Holy Spirit will come upon you and awaken you. That's what it means to be awakened. Your house has been on fire for some time, and you're asleep, and you don't know it, and you're sleeping your life away while your house burns down around you. And I come here time and time again and tell you your house is on fire. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to try and get out. You're in your sleepy state of mind. Half asleep. Don't understand. Your eyes are stuck closed. You can't see. You don't know that your house is on fire. You don't see the flames. But I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to tell you, your house is on fire. It's burning down around you. You got to get up. You got to make a way out of that fire. If you will just wake up, you will see the flames. You'll feel the heat. You'll see the fire. But while you're asleep, you see nothing. You know nothing. And you'll do nothing to deliver yourself. You have never been awakened. Being awakened is a good term, good meaning. It shows the helplessness of a lost sinner to do anything at all. While you're asleep, while you're blind and deceived, while you're lost and don't know it, you will not do one thing to help yourself. But when the Lord sends the Holy Spirit upon you and he awakens you and opens your eyes and your understanding and enlightens that understanding, you'll see the flames. You'll see the desperate condition you're in. And you will struggle and strive, and you'll try and try and try and do all that you can to get to Christ. You'll make effort. You'll struggle. You'll strive. Yeah, the Lord's sent the Holy Spirit. He's the fireman out there spraying water on the fire. He sees you. He knows which way you're going. He's spraying water on that fire that's closest to you. He's working with you. Lord, help us. Lord, open the understanding of our people that they might see their house is burning down around you. Now, I want you to think, when this house is burning down, maybe you've awakened yourself and you see all the house burning up, all your stuff burning up with it, and you hate to see it, and you look around and you see it's all passing away. And a preacher comes up to you and say, well, everything's burning down around you. If you want to be saved, say this prayer. Be earnest and sincere, and the Lord will save you. And so you say a prayer, and you're as earnest and sincere as you can be. And the preacher says, well, you're saved now, and you can be assured that everything will be okay. And you'll sit down in that burning house, never delivered from it. But you've said your prayer. You've been earnest. And sooner or later, that fire will consume you. Your faith has been misplaced. You have put your faith in a preacher and not in Christ. You'll pray for deliverance when the Lord awakens you. You'll beg and plead with the Lord. But you won't make just one prayer and then stop. You'll pray and you'll pray and you'll pray and you'll beg the Lord and you'll plead with the Lord and you'll continue on and you'll continue on. Let me tell you, when the Lord saves you, you'll be like the person who escaped from the burning house. You'll be just like him. Will you forget it soon? No. Was it a real thing that happened to you? Yes, it really happened to you. Salvation really happens to you. You won't forget it. Why? Because you know what happened to you. You know the condition you was in. You know the deliverance that you've had. Salvation is like that. It's a real deliverance from a real hell. And you'll never forget what the Lord has done for you. You won't. Lord, help us. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time. And Lord, I do ask that you would have mercy on us. Send thy Spirit to awaken us. All our people here, Lord, may you open that darkened understanding. Enlighten it, Lord. Cause our people to see a need. Have mercy on us, Lord. Bless us now. Bring us back tonight. Bless this coming week of services, Lord. Have mercy on us. Send thy Holy Spirit to move among us. Bless us according to thy will, and I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
If you are being blessed by this morning's Worship Hour broadcast, it's very important that you let the ministry know that you want the broadcasts to continue to air here on WRDN. Email the pastor at radiomissions.org, radiomissions.org, or call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658, and let the ministry know that you are still listening. That's pastor at radiomissions.org. Again, pastor at radiomissions.org, or call 225-664-8658. Your email or phone call is a vote to keep this broadcast airing here on WRDN Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies, and we will have that chance for showers and a few thunderstorms across the area today. South to southeast winds, highs in the mid-60s. Storm chances look a little more likely tonight, lows in the mid-50s. Severe weather Monday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 51.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
I'm face to face with an angel. How'd you get those eyes so blue? Your vision and why? And I've been waiting all night just to have one dance with you. Now all my dreams are coming true. I'm holding heaven in my arms tonight. Everything about you is so perfectly right. I've never been there, but I think I might be holding heaven in my arms tonight. Sure where you came from, but I thank my lucky stars above that I got the chance.